friends of ours. There's many others who we have met in the last year, just became instant friends. Amen. I love when God does that. I love when God does that. I'm trying to see you. My glasses are blurred. No, yeah. It's not just the lighting. My glasses are smudged. I'm like, that's better, though. Thank you. I like to see who I'm... I like to see who I'm preaching to. Psalms chapter 139, beginning in verse 7. David is writing. He said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Verse 11 of Psalms 139, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. The darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." I've just brought some truth bombs for you tonight. And I want to preach to you on this thought: no boundaries. No boundaries. Everybody's got this thing lately about, these are my boundaries, and you have to respect my boundaries. Now, I'm not talking about being stupid. I understand common sense. You don't let people run over you. But I'm not talking about boundaries as far as people in your life are concerned. I'm talking about no boundaries with God. I think that every one of us in this room tonight would have to agree with me that there is nowhere that you can run to escape God. There's nowhere that you can escape His majesty. There's nowhere you can go that will escape His power. There's nowhere that you can go to escape the eye of God. And yet, at the same time that we know this, we know this. We understand, we even admit it with our mouth, that we know... Oh, it's all right. Thank you. We know that God sees, He hears, He knows. And at the same time that we know this, I know what the Spirit of God has dropped into my heart. At the same time that we know we will not escape God, there are women sitting in this room right now with things going on in your life that you have not even voiced yet. And the things that are going on in your mind and in your heart, your prayer sounds like this: God, where are you? Your laughter gives you away. The Bible tells us plainly in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 that the eyes of the Lord will run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He sees those that are His. And the Bible says that His eyes are running to and fro to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. So I came tonight to remind you of the truth that God knows where you are. He knows what's going on, and in some way beyond what you can see right now, that He is working. There is no boundary line that prevents God from working. So if this is a word that I live by, this truth that God is working, then instead of spending all of my time crying about the feelings that I've got going on with whatever it is that's going on in my life, instead, I want to have a desire for the supernatural to be the cry of my life. I don't want the echo that people hear from my life to be a bunch of nonsense and pity party going on because of what I've got going on in my life. God is more concerned about what's going on inside of you than what's going on around you. God is not, look, he is concerned about everything that touches you. But what He is more concerned about is what is being developed on the inside of you while that stuff is happening in your life. Where are you running? What are you doing? What are you saying? I want to see and know that God is at work. And that's what I came to try to do tonight. To pour some gasoline on your faith. To throw some fuel on your fire of desire to see the supernatural workings of God. We say that we believe God is working, right? We say that we believe God moves miraculously, right? Well, listen, I know just as personally as any of you do how our enemy and we ourselves like to try to get us some yellow paint or some red paint in our mindsets, and we like to try to start painting some boundary lines. This is as far as we will go. This is as far as God can work. We start trying to see boundary lines that really are not there. Well, because of this and for these reasons, God will not touch that. He will move for you because you have always done what's right. But not for me, because I lived a life that wasn't right in the past. And so this is the reason why God will not do. And I've come to refute that lie with the truth of the faith of God tonight. We have an enemy, ladies. We really do. We have an enemy. We have a religious structure and a framework that likes to try to put God in a box. We have a boundary line, by definition, very simply means a division between two places, a separation between two places. Our minds would love to divide us from the truth of the Spirit. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to that dividing line between the soul or the realm of your mind, your emotions, your feeling, and the spirit. Our mind would like to tell us that the truths of the Spirit are not where you should live. But don't you allow for even 1 second for your mind to try to figure out God. He's God. He's God all by himself. He was God before anything ever was. He will be God forever. Your issue, your problem, your lack, your thing that you're seeking God for, you don't have the answer right now, but it does not change the power of God for even one moment of time. And when you and I truly approach God as God, and we come before him with a boldness, and we never get beyond a reverent fear of his holiness, but you come before God boldly and reverently and humbly, I promise you, when you start approaching him as the God that he is, you begin to see supernatural things start to take place. I feel my helper all walking up in this house. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to move this hair because I keep sucking it down my throat. I've been doing that recently. I suck hair in my mouth while I'm preaching. I want to share with you a testimony that happened since I was here last year. God making these man-made boundary lines disappear. Early last year, I was at a Sunday night prayer meeting. You know, God still does stuff in prayer meetings. Well, we as the church, we've kind of gotten away from all those old-fashioned prayer meetings. But God still does stuff at prayer meetings. So I was not actually feeling too spiritual at the moment. I had all three of my children on the row with me. My husband was up front at the altar, and everybody was seeking God and praying, just a Sunday night prayer meeting. And I was sitting on the pew like this. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, help us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. What? Oh, your cup is in the back. Just go. I know all you see up here is this suit and that hair fixed, but there's reality in all of our lives. So I was sitting on the pew, and I was, yes, Lord, not feeling spiritual. And all of a sudden, I realized I needed to take my two-year-old out and change her. And so I got my wipes and the pull-up and the daughter and under the hip. And I told the boys, be still. Do not move. Do not leave that. I'll be right back. And So here we go down the aisle. I'm slipping out to go back to do what I need to do. And I hear somebody who's up there in a very spiritual place seeking the Lord call my name. From up at the altar, they said, Sister Melissa. Yes? Could you come up here? The Lord has just given me a word. So the pastor's wife came to the rescue. I passed my child and the pull-up off to the pastor's wife. And I turned around to go see what is going on up there. This brother looks at me and he says, I do not know how to explain exactly what the Lord just showed me, but the Lord said that he is going to take you to there's a meeting that you're going to preach, and it's going to be a lot of women. You're going to be standing in front of a lot of women. And at the time, the meeting that God is telling me about had not even been booked. And he said, there's going to be a large group of women, and while you are there, God is going to let you function as his heartbeat. And he said, God is going to pump life into those women. He said, I see the life pumping, the life of God flowing like into the arteries and the veins of these women. And he said, just God is wanting you to know that those women are then going to come to life and they are going to continue on with what God causes you to pour into them. I felt in my spirit that it was a true word. And so back in November, my husband and I and my kids drove about 10 hours to a little place called Nebraska. Now, Nebraska has there is no full gospel or Pentecostal spirit-filled heritage in Nebraska. There's not. You come from the Bible Belt of the United States. Raised in the Bible Belt, the Pentecost, the Spirit-filled church, Nebraska is not that. There is none of that there. And so there in that area, there are a lot of Lutheran churches. There's a lot of Catholic churches, Episcopalian churches, Anglican-type, high church kind of thing. But where a lot of traditions override the spiritual aspect of this walk with God. Now, I've preached at this conference several times in the last 10 years. Twice I've preached there. There's a local Pentecostal church, a local Assembly of God, that hosts a free event. They rent the big event center in town. They host a free event, and they call it the Christian Women's Conference of Nebraska. You all come, we'll feed you like this. It's a one-day thing, Saturday morning. They bring in a preacher, preach to these ladies, give them the gospel, let them hear what God wants to say, and then we'll see what God will do. I've preached it before, and each year for the last 14 years, about 200 women have showed up from all over the place in Nebraska. And usually, whenever you would offer prayer, you would say at the end of your message, they're not used to an altar. They're not used to having hands laid on them. They don't know anything about that. So you have to offer to meet them in a room at the back. I'm going. I'm here. Here we go. Unless you follow me. I'm going back there. And usually out of 200 women, one or two would show up in the room. They just would not respond. The boundary lines seem to have been drawn. Now, don't lose me here. I'm showing you something. And so I had no idea what God was stirring or how this event was going to turn out, because the other two times that I preached it, there's always been this resistance. And I felt like I needed to dumb down who I was in God. You understand what I'm saying? Felt like I needed to back off a little bit and don't preach it maybe so straight, and don't act up so much, and don't move around so much, and all that stuff. There was always an arm's length held up whenever they would look at me like, I don't know so much about you. So I begin to dig into the old generals of faith. There's a woman named Mariah Woodworth Eder who was a great healing evangelist. And God used her in miracles and signs and wonders. And I began to read how God would cause that woman to preach to Catholics and unbelievers and people who were infidels and who knew nothing about this God. And as I began to read testimonies of what God has done, something different began to pump in me. It began to come alive in me. I felt expectation. I felt excited about the opportunity to go preach to these women. Before, there's always been a resistance, but this time I felt something stirring in my spirit. And so we drove the 9 hours. We pulled up to the community center. There's a church that's like Gideon's army trying to put this thing together. And we walked in and said, wait a minute. Why do you have so many more tape? What's going on here? There's a much bigger event being set up. They said, we don't know. For 14 years, there's been about 200 women show up. But this year, on year 15, for some reason, there are 500 women that are going to, they have registered to come to this event. So We preachers grabbed the plastic silverware and started setting the tables and putting the napkins out and setting the plates so that God could work in that place and they would be ready. And do you know, the next morning this Pentecostal woman got to get up there on that stage in front of 500 women and preach to them for 2 hours. No, I'm not that long-winded. But they would have one session for about an hour, and then we'd break, and then you'd come back and preach for another hour. And if you don't think that's exhausting, it is. But I got up in front of those women, and I was excited about God. I told them, if you don't have your answer, I know where it is. I didn't withhold anything from them. When I felt the Spirit of God, you know what I did? I started jumping. And whenever they looked at me, this time they weren't like this. They were like this. And whenever I was telling them about the miracles that I've seen God do, one time I went, woo! And you know what they did? They didn't know what to do. I said, I'll excuse you if you excuse me. And I preached and they smiled. I shared the life that's in me with them. Their eyebrows went up. Their faces were receptive. They absorbed every bit of it. And then we're moving to that time where nobody ever comes. I moved to that altar, that prayer time. And I said, I am going to leave this stage and I'm going to go in that room back there. It's a big enough room for however many of you want to show up. If you know that you need God in your life. You need God to come to your rescue. You need the answer from God. Meet me. Let's go right now. And do you know that about 50 women showed up in that room for prayer? And those who knew nothing about the Spirit of God. Now I'm getting to the real good part. Lutherans, Catholics, Episcopalians, Anglicans, and unbelievers began to be slain in the Spirit and filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to weep and cry and shout and go prostrate on the floor before the Spirit of Almighty God. Some of them were truly saved for the first time. Some were laid out on the floor in that cold concrete. And then most of them in the room were sobbing on their knees for God to touch them. Because you know, when you don't draw boundary lines for what God can do, God will work. And then I looked up, and in the back corner of the room, sitting all by herself, was a little girl that looked like she was about 15 years old. She had emotionally cut hair. It was green and purple and white, and she had piercings in every part of her face. But she was in that room. And I walked over to that child who admitted to dabbling in witchcraft. She said, dabbling in witchcraft and the LGBTQ lifestyle. And I walked over to that child and never said a word. I just looked her in the eye. And I got down with her. And I looked her. I let Jesus look at that child through me because he lives in me. And I let him look at her. And do you know what happened? That child dissolved into sobbing, broke down before the presence of Almighty God. She kept having to take all of her piercings out because her nose was running so much that she couldn't stand all of the rings in her nose. I wanted to tell her, baby, just leave it out. It's just let God work with you. But the moment that I looked into her eyes, she saw something and she felt Jesus. And do you know what? Those women began to write on comment cards. We took them home that evening and sat there for an hour with the pastor and his wife. And a huge majority of those non-spirit-filled people were begging the spirit-filled people to please make this conference longer. Please make this a multi-day event. Many of them wrote on their cards. And they said that prayer room experience, that was the best part of the whole meeting. That listen to me now, the title Lutheran was not a boundary line to stop God. The title Catholic was not a boundary line for God to not be able to get to them. The title unbeliever or witchcraft or LGBTQ was not a boundary line that God couldn't cross. You ready? Here comes the truth bomb. But sometimes we who know and have the life of God on the inside of us, sometimes we, number one, will hinder what God will do. Let me paint you a picture. You can order the newest, nicest, most up-to-date refrigerator on the market. You know, the one that you knock on the, you talk to it and say, make me a grocery list. Make me a recipe with what the stuff that's on the inside. I don't even know what's in there. Make me a recipe and a grocery list. You can order that. Oh, the nicest, biggest thing. You can set it in place. The place that you've got planned for it. You clean it all out. You fill it up with your food and you close the doors. But when you come back to that refrigerator the next day, that milk inside is going to be spoiled. It's beautiful on the outside, but what's on the inside is going to be rotten. Why? What did you fail to do? You didn't plug that thing in to the source of power in the wall. It doesn't matter how good it looks. The possibility of what it can do is contingent on one thing. It has to be connected to an invisible source of power that is coming through your wall called electricity. God Almighty gives us that source of power. He gives us everything we need to run our spiritual lives. But if you and I do not stay plugged in to that source, we are going to hinder what God could do. Prophet Daniel, my favorite, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Prophet Daniel said in Daniel 11:32, but the people that do know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. And he was talking about the last days. In those end days, the people that know their God. So that says to me that the strength that I have in God is completely contingent on how much of God has been revealed to me. Now you just chew on that for a second. The people that know God are going to be strong in him. So the strength I've got in God is completely contingent on how much of God has been revealed to my life. That revelation helps me know him. Believe me, I'm in ministry all the time. I've already preached a revival this week. A revival this week. That's multiple services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, here we go. Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning. And I have people look at me on a regular basis. They will say, how can you be so sure of who God is. How are you so sure of what God can do? And my answer can only be this: because I know him. I've heard him. I've talked with him. He has revealed himself to me. And that revelation causes me to live at a level that does not question his existence. The Holy Ghost began to show me some things about the body of Christ. He said that some of you, even in this room, are trying to believe God for something. Here comes the Holy Ghost knocking on your heart. You're trying to believe God for something without first winning the battle in your own mind and spirit that God is really real. You battle with that lie from hell. You lay there, you lay down at night, and that enemy whispers to you, "Are you sure all of this is even real? Are you sure that this isn't just something that you've been told? How do you know that this is really real? You try to pray, but you don't truly know if he is. Or is this just all a bunch of stuff that was passed down for centuries? And we've all been duped into believing something. But God is wanting to refute that lie that causes you to doubt his very existence. You begin to ask God to reveal himself to you. He will. The Apostle Paul prayed that every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God would be pulled down. We need to ask God to tear down the boundary lines that have set themselves in place in our lives. Boundary lines that we don't even realize are there. You know why? Because there is too much on the line. Let me explain some of those boundary lines. We have denominational lines. And those denominational lines tell us that God will not or does not do that here or there. We have boundary lines where we look at that one. We know what kind of lifestyle they're living. We know they're a witch. We know they're a homosexual. We look at them and we walk the other way because we do not want to invest ourselves in something that we think should not touch us. The exploits, those things that I need to do for God, are tied to my revelation of him. Did you hear that? I said those big things that God wants to do through your life, sister, they are tied to what has been revealed to you. If there's nowhere that I can go to escape God's eye, and there's nowhere that I can go to be out of the reach of God's spirit, then I need to stop applying that to only bad things. We know God sees us when we sin. Well, you can't hide from God. You better not do that because you can't hide from God. Well, what about when you're trying to obey God? You can't hide from God. When God puts his finger on you and starts demanding obedience out of your life, you cannot go anywhere outside of him seeing you. I know, you're like, calm down, lady. I can't. I know too much. I've seen too much. I've heard too much. Because knowing God equals strength in God. Knowing God means you walk in a strength that is able to push back the enemy. Knowing God means you push back the enemy with your worship. Not just by mouthing a bunch of words on a screen. You have to know the God you're worshiping. I can stand there and read. I can read. You're faithful, you're holy, you're wonderful, you're a provider. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he answered. Praise the Lord. They only become real in you when they are encountered and they are experienced. He's faithful. I know he is because I've experienced it. He's holy. And I know he is because I have trembled in his holy presence. I've been brought down to nothing in his presence. He's wonderful. He's provided for me whenever it looked like we should have gone under. Knowing God means there is no boundary line drawn where he cannot work in you or through you. No, not even on your job. Yeah, well, this is a corporate setting. That's a boundary line you've just given God. Well, they don't believe like me. Exactly. Do you have the truth or not? You're going to let them go walk on in their life living a lie? Or are you going to wear truth on your life? I didn't say it was comfortable. I didn't say it was easy. It's the truth. Light does not have a boundary line. You flip that light switch, light shows up everywhere. There's not a boundary line. When you start walking in the light, like the Bible says, walk in the light as he is in the light, you suddenly find that you have an audacity in the things of the Spirit. What does that mean, audacity? It means a willingness to take bold risks. Believe it or not, I'm a very timid person. In any given room, a conversation, I will generally be the quietest one there. Unless you specifically ask me a question. I watch. I smile. I'm very soft-spoken at home. People see this up here and they think, "Ooh, you must keep your husband in line." That is not the case at all. The only time that you find that boldness in me is when the Spirit of God is moving. When the Spirit of God is in activation, when you are flowing and you're operating in who you know God is, I will not back down for a moment because I know him. I've laid hands on the sick and watched them get up. I've seen with these eyes the dead raised. God has revealed himself already to me. So why would I look at people and say, "Well, because you don't believe it that way, I will withhold from you"? When light bursts forth, you're no longer confined in your testimony. You're not bound up in telling what you know is the truth, because what you have experienced is greater than what people say is not real. We got to get really real in these last days. You know, we're living in some crazy times, some scary times. The Bible calls them perilous times. Who knows what's next? And if you don't really, really, really know your God, the Bible says even the very elect would be deceived. So today is the day to know that you know that you know that you know that you are walking with him and you're talking with him. What are you right now currently asking God to reveal to you? What is it that you are asking God? Is there anything, or do you realize, "I don't think I am"? Asking God to reveal himself to me, a new revelation of him in my life? Or are you functioning more like that beautiful refrigerator with the capability of keeping life-giving nutrients on the inside of you, but you're not staying plugged into that source that keeps you alive? I've seen too many times the effect of my own fears limiting what God would do. I'm not just telling you something that I think might work for you. I've been wrapped up in my own fears. I've had the enemy come by and say, "You better not say that," and paint the boundary line, box you in. Nope. And what God would have done is now a missed opportunity. God wants to move through you. We are not robots with programs and salvation, and then we just move along with no emotion invested into this thing. When I married my husband, it's been almost 12 years ago, if after that ceremony took place, I went and got him a card, and I wrote in that card, "When I look into your eyes, the only thing that I am aware of is the complete deadness of my feelings. And a lack of any emotion or passion. My heart is icy cold. But I do logically and intellectually love you based on the truth that you are my husband. And that is what I am supposed to do." Do you think he'd read that card and say, "Hey girl, you want to go out?" I don't think so. And I think if that's the way our relationship was, you would agree there's a problem. And yet that is the type of relationship that many people have with God. There's no passion. There's very little invested. The connection and that personal knowing and that relationship with God is not very personal. But instead, we do logically and intellectually approach him because he is God, and that is what we are supposed to do. I didn't come to stir up your logic tonight. I think you realize that. I came to stir up your faith. What is it that God could do through you? What is it that God could do? Are you asking for him for anything? Why can't he use your hands outside of these walls to lay them on sick people and watch them be healed? Are you a believer? If you're a believer and you know him, he'll do it. What if we just plainly and simply took this truth and just said, "In these last days, I believe God. I know who he is. I believe him. And I'm not going to give him any more boundary lines of what I think he can or cannot do." Maybe that's God calling. "Here, Lord. I don't want a religion that is superficial. I want a relationship with God that is supernatural." Believe me, it's very exciting to see Catholics and Lutherans and Episcopalians and unbelievers and witches and LGBTQ lifestyle fall on their face before God. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. It's overwhelming to have God open up the realm of the Spirit to you, and suddenly you are seeing the angels that are with us. It's a very exciting thing to lay your hands on people and watch them recover. Don't you ever let life tell you that it's boring to live for God. Boundary lines with God, and I'm coming to a close, if those musicians, wherever you are. Boundary lines with God produce boring Christianity. Are you bored with God? Are you bored in what's going on in your spiritual life? You don't have to be. Boundary lines with God produce a boring Christianity, a boring worship, and a boring prayer life. But no boundary lines produces a faith that sees the miraculous. No boundary lines will open up your eyes in the spirit realm. No boundary lines produce spiritual ears that can hear what God is saying and a mouth that will speak it after you've heard it. You will never experience the supernatural of God. until you believe for it. We're always putting it off on what somebody else needs to do. Bring in a preacher. Let them lay hands on me and give me what they've got. Well, I'm not that. I love to have hands laid on me and the prayer of faith as much as anybody. But y'all, if bullets start flying, you hear me. If bullets start flying, if war hits our streets, there may not be anybody there to lay hands on you. But you still got truth on the inside. If you've got the truth, you can walk with God. You can walk with Him. What did David said? He said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I try to hide myself in darkness, even there, that darkness is just like the daytime. Would you stand with me all over this room? I know God's been talking to you because I can see it. I can feel it. And there's just no point of coming together if we're not going to seal it with God. I'm going to open up this entire front to you. And I will work as the Holy Ghost leads me. You can stand, you can kneel, you can lay prostrate on your face. But if that heart, that spirit, that longing, that desire for God, you're saying, there's some boundary lines that I need the Holy Spirit of God to come and help me erase. And I need Him to give me wisdom on how to walk with Him. I need Him to come to me. I need Him to come to me and let me know Him in a greater way than I currently do. If you would agree with that prayer, would you join me around this front and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me and reveal yourself through me. Come on, come on, don't wait. Reveal yourself through me. Show me the boundary lines. Some of you are bound by fear. You hear me? Some of you in this room, there's a boundary line that's been painted around you and it's bright red and it's called fear. And God would like to get rid of that for you. God would like to dismiss fear out of the room. Erase the line and say, walk on, child, walk on. Would you lift your hands to God tonight? Lord, reveal yourself to me. Just begin to talk to Him. Reveal your truth to me.